Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have a very good program lined up for you, and you're going to love this. It is a topic about business. So this is going to be for those folks out there with businesses, business owners, especially family-owned businesses, but this isn't just for them. It's for their anybody who works for them. You also want to know that. So I've just covered, 90% of the businesses in the United States, or 90% of the employment in the United States. So this affects a lot of people. And our topic today is going to be addiction and recovery in family businesses, which of course very much is a financial topic. Now, fortunately for us, I've run across somebody who can really help us, Melissa Mitchell Blitch. She is president and CEO of Aretata. That's the name of her company. And it is aretataconsulting.com. And I learned from Melissa, that's Italian. Of course, having an Italian wife, I should know that. But aretataconsulting.com. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
All right. So Aretata is Italian for heritage or legacy.
Blessing, legacy, heritage. Yes.
All right, and that's what family businesses are all about, right? We want to get them past that third generation?
Well, we hope to, and the odds are against them, yeah. And yet family businesses are a huge part of our economy.
Oh, it's
when
enormous.
Yeah. They can do a lot.
And I guessed at the statistic. Do you have a more finely tuned one? I mean, it's got to be like 90% of the employment in our country.
Well, they employ about 63% of our workforce, so they create 75% of all new jobs.
All right, I was heading in the right direction.
Absolutely.
It sure feels like 90% to me. Being a business owner myself, I can understand. All right, so the issue here that you've run into and you've obviously spent time focusing on, and you, Melissa, for our guest, she's a CPA, former financial planner, and also a big 5, 6, 4, 8 accounting firm, depending on, it's always funny how we date ourselves, Melissa. She's a previous big 4 accounting firm member. I also was as well, so I can relate to her on that. And so your specialty, you do a lot of consulting work for family-owned businesses.
I do.
All right, excellent. And so let's talk about addiction. The addiction you're talking about is not somebody that's simply a workaholic, although that could drive the behavior that could be what we're really going to get to here, which is addictions to chemicals, chemical addiction, and how that affects the business and how the business is going to survive that.
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to focus specifically on chemical dependence. There absolutely are a lot of other ways in which one might, demonstrate addictive behaviors, workaholism, gambling, other things that we won't say on the radio. But we're going to focus on the chemical addiction.
Very good. Okay. Well, let's just kind of dive in here. First, let's talk about identification. Okay. And we'll kind of go through a process here. You're talking about a family member who's intimately involved. Maybe they're the boss. Maybe they're co-boss. Maybe they're one of the owners. Maybe they're an owner, but they're or their family, and they're not an owner, or whatever the nature. Let's talk about identification. What are some of the things that family members need to look out for?
Absolutely, and David, you hit on an important factor. A part of the inherent complexity of being in a family business is the multiple roles that any one person may serve in. From be it they may be an employer, they may be in leadership, they may or may not be in ownership now or in the future, and so it's complex inherently, and some of the signs of addiction, a very easy way to kind of summarize them would be any significant change that takes place over a small period of time. It could be change in physical health that's not otherwise explained, social involvement, financial.
Withdrawal.
It could be withdrawal symptoms, level of energy, anything that not otherwise readily explained that's notable and happened over a short period of time,
that's definitely a
red flag.
Okay, very interesting. So first is just that out of the ordinary behavior, be it anger or withdrawal or shorter fuse or the one that I think I would thought of as you were describing that is it may be a little bit less interest or less focus, maybe more indifferent to the business, which would be for a family-owned business very, very much a sign of a problem.
Absolutely. It could show itself more as withdrawal. It could be evading questions or time with other family members. It could be lying.
How about maybe changes with financial aspects too?
Absolutely.
Because you got to pay for the stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Mm.
All of these things can be red flags that may or may not, indicate addiction.
Okay. If you're just joining us, Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest. She's president and CEO of Aretata and AretataConsulting.com. I'll spell it for you, EREDITA Consulting.com. Quick break and we'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest, president and CEO of Aretata. And if you're not Italian, that is leaving a legacy, a heritage, that type of translation. And the website is AretataConsulting.com, E-R-E-D-I-T-A, consulting.com. And we're talking about addictions within families. And we talked family-owned businesses. And, now here's a real pickle, okay? I just thought of, Melissa, that, again, because of the multiple roles that family members have and the interrelated nature, especially if there's, obviously more than one. And if you are an employee of that business, a non-family employee, and you notice this behavior, whew, that's a tough one, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot at stake, whether you're an employee of that family business, whether you're a friend of the family, whether you're an advisor to that family. You may see some of those warning flags that we talked about, but what if?
Yeah.
What if you express concern and it's not an addiction?
Yeah.
Folks can worry about what might happen then.
Yeah, maybe they just simply ask another family member, say, hey, how's John doing? Mm-hmm. He just seemed a little off the other day.
Yeah.
And that may be all you need to do, and then they might pay a little more to closer attention.
Absolutely. That is a more subtle and yet direct way. I saw something that was out of the ordinary. I'm going to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, he just backed into my car. Can you, can you fix that?
Mm-hmm.
That's very difficult. Okay, so we've identified. Now what? What's the next step? Are we talking about, what is this called, the interdiction or...
Intervention,
that's mm-hmm. the word, yeah. Interdiction is probably a military operation. So the intervention, so is that the next step?
It can be,
okay.
And especially if we just look at the word and its broadest use of intervening in some way.
Doesn't mean that it's a sneak attack confronting them in their office with all the family members present, right?
That rarely is the best route to go.
No, I wouldn't think so.
It's because the individual is more likely to enter recovery, be motivated to receive help if he or she sees the problem and wants to help his or herself. So a surprise ambush, you're going to treatment, can work, but it's typically not the best route to take.
You got to get lucky if you do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're talking about lives here, so we don't want to rely on luck.
No. Oh, gosh, that was a good point. That's an excellent one. Okay, so there's an intervention in using the term very broadly. And so with that, then it's about getting the person the help they need. What are the implications for the business while all this is going on?
Well, David, I'm going to take that question a bit broader even, because what about the family?
Yeah, what about them?
Addiction is a family disease. The individual who has the addiction, the impacts of that, the ripple effects go far. So anyone who loves that person, cares for that person, is in some way going to be impacted by that. So those family members, both in the business and outside of the business. And what if that person has a leadership role within the company that can be a deterrent from folks saying, you need help, because what are we going to do when our leader goes to rehab? So there are a lot of inherent challenges within family business, but absolutely the next step would be for the person with the addiction to get help, and ideally so that they're not coming back to the same system that they were in before, the same type of relationships and dynamics. And so the family members themselves can deal with the toll that this has played on them. Ideally, the family members would get help as well.
That's very good. Because, yeah, it's not just that person. It's just a powder keg, you know. It's just got so much that can go bad very quickly for the business. Because, you know, with family-owned businesses, as you know, Melissa, they're so dependent and involved with the... And I know that you do a lot of work with, you know, next generation planning for businesses, and your consulting work goes well beyond just, you know, this subject of addiction and recovery in family businesses, that, you know, that all of what we're talking about is, it's all about the whole family. That's really the key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So when it comes to looking at, we talked about the warning signs, we talked about, you know, there being some form of intervention. Are there steps that a family-owned business, the people that will run the business or substitute, for lack of a better word, while that person is out, are there things they can do to really reassure the employees and vendors and customers and all of the folks that are affected, which again, goes beyond the family, it goes beyond the immediate business?
Sure. They can do their best, you know, one, to fill whatever role the individual who needed to go to treatment, you know, filled. But really, if the person was struggling with addiction, the quality of their performance was inherently less than it would have been otherwise.
Mm.
So it wasn't that there wasn't a problem and now there is because so-and-so is gone or out of the office. There has been a problem all along. So it could be that fellow employees, vendors, that sort of thing could actually be relieved.
Okay.
Finally getting addressed. So it could go either way.
Yeah, so clarity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, clarity goes a long way. Interesting. If you're just joining us, Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest. She's president and CEO of Aredita, AreditaConsulting.com. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest, and she is president and CEO of Aredita Consulting and AreditaConsulting.com. You know, Melissa, I wanted to ask you this a little bit more of a broader, maybe even a beginning question or maybe a way to kind of frame some of this. And addiction in family businesses is not something that we hear much about. Why? Number one, why is that? And then why do you think this is something that is an important topic? I know why I think it is, but I'm real curious what you think.
Well, David, I'm guessing that part of what you were thinking has to do with the stigma and shame that's often associated with addiction. So in any family, it's often something that they seek to hide, a good old family secret. And when a family is, you know, prominent in the community because of their ownership of a family business or the business is well known, that just adds to even more motivation to keep things private.
Good point. And I will, for our listeners, I will tell them that having done a lot of work with hundreds of people, hundreds of clients over the years, that very, very, very often there is a family member or child or spouse or ex-spouse that there is addiction or other problems. So it is much more common, I think, than people realize. And a lot of those folks that I've talked to are either maybe they've been executives or in the business world or they've had businesses.
Yes, it's definitely a topic that we know some about, and part of what we know we just extrapolate from, you know, the dynamics of family businesses, their impact on the economy, the degree to which they contribute to jobs, such as we discussed before, and then the prevalence of addiction in and of itself. So some of what we know is just merely an extrapolation of those two things. Unfortunately, we don't know nearly enough about specifically addiction in these family businesses as we need to. The most recent information that we have actually came from a study just a few years back by Regeneration Partners, and that study found that 50-plus percent of family businesses said that they either have in the past or are currently dealing with addiction in the leadership or management.
Wow.
And not merely the rank and file, but these are, you know, the executives.
Now, here's an obvious question. This will be a softball right down the middle of the plate. Here we go, okay? Is the fact that these folks that are running these businesses, you know, high stress, high demand, hard to leave it at work and you know, go home, is that in part of why we see that, the prevalence of the addiction issue or problem that you're seeing show up?
Sure. All okay. of those things can be risk factors. Another
okay.
important risk factor as we look specifically at family business is that genetic component.
Oh, that's a good point.
Someone in a bloodline of someone else who has had an addiction is much more likely than the general population to experience that challenge themselves.
Hmm.
So if one family member has an addiction and you're in a family business with multiple family members, it's much more likely that there's going to be multiple family members who are also challenged with that way.
You know, I didn't think of that. That's an excellent point. And that kind of ties into the next question, which is really about how the nature of the family business, you know, we're talking about the perils and the risks, but what the nature of the family business itself, how that can actually be helpful in addressing the addiction.
Yes, there is good news.
Okay.
While it's inherently challenging, it actually has a good side as well. And one of those ways is using the potential involvement or management or ownership of the family business, using that as leverage.
Hmm.
So that if the person, I've worked with a family before that had a son who was reluctant to recover, and he was involved with the family business, the family said, either you go to rehab and you stay dry, or you're not involved with the family business anymore. So it can be used as to help increase motivation, to get help, to stay clean.
Yeah, the carrot and the stick, and
mm-hmm.
that obviously is both, because the example presumes or assumes that he would want to be involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was a very strong, normal consequence.
Yeah, that would get my attention real quick. Very good. If you're just joining us, Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest. She's president and CEO of Areta-Ta, AretaTaConsulting.com, E-R-E-D-I-T-A Consulting.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Areta-Ta Consulting, that is Melissa Mitchell-Blitch's company. And the website is AretaTaConsulting.com, E-R-E-D-I-T-A Consulting.com. A question I wanted to make sure we got to, again, with, you know, we talked about before the break about the good news of the fact that the family business can actually be a motivating factor for the person who's dealing with it to seek out help and take advantage of the resources. What resources are available would be my next question for a family facing addiction, Melissa.
Absolutely. If you've ever loved someone or known someone closely who's in active addiction, you know how devastating it is. It is scary, and you are desperate to do something to help. And so to help us get outside of that, you know, emotional triggering that comes up from, you know, the understandable level of fear and concern, it's good to get a professional involved in one way or another. You can look specifically for interventionists, if you need some guidance as to how do we intervene, you can look for Florida has a certified addictions professional designation. There are psychiatrists who have, you know, specialties in addiction. So there are some, you know, designators in the profession that you can look for to reach out to someone and seek their input and guidance as to how to help motivate the loved one to receive some help.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. And you know, and having you on the program, Melissa, you know, obviously one of the things also that I wanted to get to, there's an additional, it occurred to me, and this is why I wanted to talk to you, is it occurs to me that there's an additional layer or level of stress and risk to the family-owned business because of the person maybe that's involved with the addiction. It's a lot harder for, if it's the wife or the husband, whichever it is, or the family member, to pull them out of the business and send them off or give them that time to come back. It's a lot harder for them than if somebody, say, for example, is an employee of a company, and they can just say, look, I've got to take off some time for a medical reason, and somebody else fills in. I've got 3 weeks of personal time off. I'm taking it. You know, it's a very, very different animal on which the family is, their financial future is tied. It's a whole other level.
Yes. And yet, as we discussed before, if this loved one is in active addiction, they're an inherent problem for the business
in
one way or another.
True.
They're either not able to perform to the best of their ability. They could even do such things as start stealing from the business or just making poor judgment.
Have you seen that where there's been actual theft from the business to support the addiction?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And would it surprise us to learn that it's not just maybe where it's an employee, family member, but it's actually part of the leadership?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Back to the study that I mentioned earlier about family businesses, you know, how many of those have or are dealing with addiction in the core leadership and management and ownership? Of that, more than half that said yes, once upon a time or now, 83% of that half said now. Right now we're dealing with addiction in our core leadership.
That's pretty, I mean, I'm not being cute, but I just, the word is the correct word. That's pretty sobering.
It is.
I mean, that is really sobering, the statistics and the numbers you're sharing, Melissa. Because, again, I deal with risk all the time as a planner. You know, I'm dealing with how people can mitigate and address risk in their financial lives. And, you know, I've dealt with businesses that, you know, where people are, quote unquote, investing in their own business, and we look to diversify as they have monies available from profits. And, you know, so the part of me that really struck this is, and I heard what you said about, well, you know, if somebody's not performing to the best of their ability, then, you know, they're a limitation and a hindrance and a problem for the company anyway. But just that being able to address this and get the help that somebody needs is a challenge for the business. Let's go back to some maybe either good news or try to nip this in the bud. We talked at the very beginning of the show about identification. We've got about a minute left. A couple thoughts for us on prevention. Maybe, you know, signs before it's a real problem. Are there things that families can do to huddle and stay connected in a way that they can identify this or prevent it?
Absolutely. I like to tell clients with young children that they're actually not raising children, they're raising adults.
Hmm.
So being present in your child's life, seeking to have an open relationship where they can come to you and tell you that they've screwed up on something and they're not immediately judged and punished. To also let your children, and these can be young children or, you know, young adults or even 50-year-old children, to let them experience the normal, natural consequences of their choices. That's an important feedback loop that lets us know my choices are either bringing things into my life that I like or they're bringing things in my life that I don't like.
Mm, so don't shield them too much from this ugly world we deal with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And help them develop the coping skills, emotional, relational, you name it, coping skills, so that when life happens, they'll have skills to deal with it.
Excellent advice. Excellent. Melissa Mitchell-Blitch is our guest today, President CEO of Areditá Consulting, areditaconsulting.com, E-R-E-D-I-T-A consulting.com. Melissa, thank you so much for joining us.
David, thanks for helping us get the word out.
Oh, I will, and thank you very much.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.